Thank you. What's that? You play the banjo? Hot dog. Hey, Tim? Jason plays
the banjo. Come on Wednesday nights.
Come Wednesday nights. Let's have a good time. Hey, for those who don't know, whether you're watching for the first time online, you're new here, my name is James. I'm one of the pastors on staff. And I'd like to invite up Trevor, because as he told you earlier, he's also one of the pastors on staff. And we're going to do something different today. Is that okay? Mike says, like it matters. Well, that's true. That is true. We're going to co-teach this whole Advent thing. So for the next 3 weeks, we are going to co-teach together. Over the last 17 years, have I done that before? I don't think so. I know we co-planned some series, but I don't think we've co-taught. So if it works really, really good, fantastic. If it's terrible, you only have to put up with us for another 2 weeks after. I've said this quote before, and I'll say it again because some of you haven't heard me say it. People can live 40 days without food. They can live 3 days without water, but you can only live a few minutes without breathing. Prayer is the breathing of spiritual life. I'm going to say that again. People can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, but only minutes without breathing. Prayer is the breath, the breathing of our spiritual life. Amen. Oh, if I keep saying it, will the amens get louder?
Amen.
Oh, fantastic. Trevor, I'm going to put you on the spot. How's your breathing?
Okay. No, my breathing as of late has been on the shallow side. I find myself uttering quick prayers as I'm getting into the car or as I'm stepping into a meeting, but I am also finding myself longing for a big deep breath with God, just taking that time to just breathe in who He is and take a step back from my distractions. Let's hear that quote one more time, because I want to get some amens too. Humans can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, and only minutes without breathing. Prayer is the breath of our spiritual life. So I'm going to put you back on the spot.
Amen.
Exactly. We got it. All right. Now we've properly competed in our co-teaching, and we can be done with it.
Perfect.
Okay. So I'll put you back on the spot here. How's your breathing?
All right. I'm going to say something that don't let it surprise you. My breathing's been on CPR lately. Oh, don't say, uh-oh, okay? Because most people think, well, CPR is because you're dying. My prayer life has actually been okay lately, and it's because I've been letting other people breathe for me. I have been, I grew up, like so many of the rest of us, praying extemporaneous prayers, right? Whatever comes to the top of our mind, we pray. But the last season or so, I have been praying written prayers that other people have prayed. Written prayers that other people have prayed for centuries, and that is, it's a change, and it's refreshing to me. It's something different. It's something, I find it is profound. So I'm on CPR, where other people are breathing for me, but it's wonderful. Now, Jesus prayed. Yes?
Yes.
Yes, often, so often that his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and when he taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, you'll know it, so you're going to say it with me. When we get to the trespasses or sins, let's go with sins. And if you get it wrong, that's fine, because it's the same thing. So pray that with me. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Amen. Amen. If you haven't picked up on it, this Advent season, we are going to be doing a series on prayer. We're going to look at how, through the story of the Advent, of Jesus' birth announcement and his birth and the days and weeks and years following, how they were bathed in prayer. And we're going to look at it through a very specific lens, which we'll tell you in just a moment. We all have our favorite prayers, right? For some of you, it may be the Lord's Prayer that we just said. Others, it may be the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to... Okay, so that's not too many of your favorite prayers. To accept the things I cannot change. Maybe your favorite prayer is the nighttime prayer. And now I lay me down to... Oh, that's better. I pray the Lord my soul to... Okay, so you like that one. Maybe some of it's the standard prayer that maybe you grew up with around the lunch table. Lord, bless this food that we're about to partake in the... We never had a standard prayer with it. Sometimes, this isn't sacrilegious, it was rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Amen. I got an amen out of that one.
Our favorite, when I worked at the admissions department at my alma mater, when we would gather around, all the staff would gather around to eat, we would say this prayer, which obviously became a favorite, was, Dear God, amen. Yeah. And then we'd eat.
I like that. So Trevor's going to be praying for our lunch today. We have our favorite prayers, right? You have your favorite prayers, I have my favorite prayers. Now, I'm guessing we also may have read books on prayer, and perhaps you have your favorite book on prayer. Classic is Andrew Murray's With Christ in the School of Prayer. Maybe you've read C.S. Lewis's How to Pray. A couple of months back, actually, no, it wasn't a couple of months back, it was recently. Recently, Trevor and I, you can tell it's a beautiful book because it's got a great sleeve. We're reading through the book titled Prayer by Richard Foster. Good book. It's got 40-plus different prayers, and we're doing a different style of prayer each week.
The other one that we did read a few months back, maybe it's overlapping, it's fine. We read this book by Anne Lamott on prayer, and it's titled Help, Thanks, Wow, The Three Essential Prayers. And we really loved the simplicity of the book, and more so the simplicity of the prayers. Help, thanks, and wow. So what we're doing with this Advent series is this. We're going to look at the Advent story through the lens of those three prayers. Help, thanks, and wow. And we'll do more than just talk and teach about it. If you've been here since, I've been here, which is since February, which, wow, it's gone by fast. We have always been giving a lot of opportunity for prayer, a lot of opportunity for response. So we will give you an ample opportunity to practice each of these. Everything makes sense? Great. Well, allow me to pray, and then we'll kick things off. God, we thank you for allowing us spaces to communicate what we're feeling, what we're dealing with, what we need, in a way that builds on our relationship, that changes our hearts, that molds us to be like you, and gives us more of a piece of who you are. We thank you for our time to discuss that this morning. In your name, God, amen.
So what is prayer, right? We could ask all of you, and you'd all probably have a similar type of answer, some form of talking to God or listening to God or something like that. In the book by Anne Lamott, on page one, she defines prayer as communication from one's heart to God. Communication from one's heart to God, I like that because it's simple, right? And it means it can use words, but you don't have to use words. Help. That's the first prayer that she talks about in this book. Help. And the way I see it, there's kind of two different kinds of help prayers. There's the first, which is the simple help prayer. For example, Lord, help James remember to call the snowplow company so they can plow the parking lot of the church. Amen. Amen. There's others like, I pray this one every Sunday. Lord, help me not pass out when I speak in front of people, because I don't like it. Do you see what I'm saying? Simple prayers for help. Trevor, do you have any that you pray simply on a regular basis?
Boy, I have a few. God, help me be patient with my son, who is having lots of big emotions and learning what that means. God, help me finish my projects at work. God, help me with the bills this month. Those are generally the three that cycle through quite a bit for me. We actually want to hear from you all about this. There's going to be a number up on the screen here. Go ahead and text in those. What are those daily help prayers that you pray? We'll talk about those here in a little bit, but I want you to go ahead and text those in. Those simple help prayers are important, though. Turning to the Advent story here, I wonder if Zechariah and his family were praying help prayers before he served his duty in the temple, when the angel Gabriel came to him and predicted that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a baby. James, you got your Bible open. Would you read that section for us?
Yeah, this is Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from a priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. And as was the custom of the priests, he was chosen to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying.
Can you imagine what they were praying over, Zechariah? I wonder if it was simple help prayers, like help Zechariah serve well. Maybe that was it. Maybe it was help Zechariah keep focused. I'm sure that some of you or many of you have prayed that over one or both of us.
Maybe you're praying that right now.
That could be. Maybe it was just, hey, help Zechariah not trip and fall on his ropes. Something simple. Or if we turn to another story from the Advent and look at Mary and Joseph, I wonder if they prayed a help prayer before they set off to Bethlehem. Let's look at chapter 2 of Luke.
Luke chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. And because Joseph was a descendant to Bethlehem, a descendant of King David. Sorry. People are texting in. That's a good thing. Yeah. I'm going to start again. Someone was actually calling.
Oops.
Yeah, whoever just called me, go ahead and send that text. Luke chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child.
I mean, going back into our little mind palace here, can you even imagine what they were praying as they traveled? Maybe Joseph had some simple prayers like, God, give us travel mercies and keep the baby in while we're traveling. Maybe it was just keep Mary comfortable on this uncomfortable donkey, or just help her find a position where it will ease the pain.
Simple help prayers. They make sense, right? I see that these are some of the everyday prayers that we pray. Maybe they're ones on our prayer list, and I want to read off some of the ones that you have sent in, and if appropriate, I'm going to name names. If not appropriate, I won't. Dear God, please help make it snow so I don't have to go to school tomorrow. That is fantastic. I won't say who that was. Somebody else wrote, God, help me to love as you would love. Love them. Here we go. Help me not overthink things. It's a good one. Help me listen to what the Holy Father's telling me. God, help, because when I'm in crisis, I believe God knows what is best for me. We might come back to that one. God, help me today. Go before me today and fill me with your Spirit. God, help my mom and my sister. Help me be attentive to those before me. I pray for help to see things through a child's eyes. That's good. Help us, your will be done. Help me drive safely and get there and back okay. I like that one. I pray that one regularly too. God, help keep my family safe. See, simple help prayers. Things saying, well, there's another one. Help me remember that you can handle this. I like that. These are prayers that, that in some sense, some of them at least, we can play a part in, right? So that's why I call them simple prayers. For example, the help me drive safe and get there and back. Well, we can play a part in that. Like, don't text while you drive. Slow down. Those sorts of things. But what pushes the prayers from a simple help prayer to kind of that next level or a different level is when the prayers become the prayers of desperation, where there's no way you can help determine the outcome. These are prayers of anguish, prayers of misery, prayers of despair, prayers of hopelessness and helplessness. I think back, goodness, it was about 20 years ago. I was in the woods in Wyoming leading a wilderness trip. Some of you have heard this story. And my son at the time was one and had multiple febrile seizures and ended up unconscious. And Abby's with him by himself in Chicago, and I'm unreachable in Wyoming. I can only imagine that she's praying prayers of help, right? Where she doesn't know what's going on. In that ambulance ride with her and him on the way to the doctors and the tests and everything, that's when she's praying prayers of help, right? Same thing, fast forward about 10 years or so, stick with the family. Her father had 3 strokes in 1 year, and the third one, it led to a brain surgery, and we were all praying, God, help. Help. Right? We didn't know what the end result would be. Trevor, what type of these types of prayers of help, these prayers of desperation help, have you prayed?
Oh, man. You know, I prayed ones of desperation when I was failing classes in college. I've prayed prayers of desperation where I didn't know where the grocery money was going to come from. If any of you have struggled with mental health during your life, that's always one that comes back of that desperation and hopelessness of dealing with that. I've even prayed prayers of desperation to heal relationships in my life. So at this time, we'll ask you to text some of these in again and more focusing in on that desperation piece. And we'll read some of these, but we're going to keep those for sure anonymous because that can be something that's really close to your heart and can be really painful. So go ahead and text those in. That number's back up on the screen again. I think there are many times of desperation help prayers in the story of the Advent. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 first.
So this is how Jesus' birth was announced to Joseph. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement off quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this occurred to fulfill what the Lord's message through the prophet had said, that the virgin would conceive a child and she'd give birth to a son, and they'd call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife.
So we got a couple spaces here. Of desperation, right? We can consider Mary, who's now pregnant, and how she moves down the social ladder of the time. According to Hebrew tradition, she would either have to be married to the person who impregnated her, which in this case is impossible, or there would be a bride price paid and she would live in her father's house the rest of her life. She would be known as this person of ill repute because she'd become pregnant outside the confines of marriage, but there wouldn't be another chance for her to get married. This was it. And so in a certain sense here, socially, her life is over. And you can imagine the desperation that would come with that for her. Even in Luke chapter 1, verse 29, it tells us that she was disturbed and confused by what the angel was telling her. So I'm sure she was uttering some desperation help prayers. We can even turn to Joseph on the other side of this. He had a good match. He was engaged to be married. He was ready to settle down and have a good life with this woman, and then out of nowhere, it might seem, she cheats on him. This isn't some infidelity either that can stay between the two of them to work out in secret, because she's pregnant. It's very public. If he still marries her, everyone would think that it was he who got her pregnant and was forced to marry her at that point, and so he would go down in the social ladder. But his decision then to break off the engagement seems the best course of action for him, because he can find a wife that he trusts, and he won't have to lose face socially. Even in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, there's a different type of desperation prayers. As they're traveling, right? As they're traveling, as they get to their destination, as she says, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. I think about the desperation of labor. Some of you perhaps dealt with that. I know. I think of the desperation of when we were in the labor room for Felix, where initially we got to the hospital and they said, "Hey, we're understaffed. You got to go to a different one." And so my wife is transported by an ambulance, and I'm by myself in the car as my first child is coming into this world, and I'm a nervous wreck. You know, I think of when we hit the 70-hour mark of labor and my wife is dealing with this intense pain and I'm sitting there like a bump on the log because I can't do anything and I want to help, and I'm just tossing that up to God. God, be with us.
Did you say 70 hours of labor?
I think in total it ended up being like 72, but yeah.
That's amazing. There would have been some cries for help in that, for sure, not just yours, but Edie's as well. When Sam was born, it was, I think we were hour 2021, something like that. I say we as if we were in hour 20 or 21, right? When all of a sudden the monitors start beeping, and next thing you know, there's 10, 15 doctors, nurses come running into the room, and they're taking Abby out, and it ended up being an emergency C-section. And as I'm sitting there, I'm praying prayers of help, right? I can't even imagine what Mary, who didn't have monitors, and I mean, maybe that was better for them back then. I don't know. There's other stories, other components of this narrative in the Advent story that you could think of some of these cries of desperation. I think of Elizabeth and Zechariah. In case you didn't know their story, when we started it, they were too old to have babies. Trevor's going to read the rest of it in Luke 1.
Yes, Luke 1, verse 11. It says, "While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, 'Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You'll have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly.' Zechariah said to the angel, 'How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years.' Then the angel said, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly both be fulfilled at the proper time.'"
And then for the next, 10 months, Zechariah's prayers were communication between him and God that were wordless. I think we hear this every year, but the social ramifications back then of not being able to have kids, it was a curse on the husband and the wife. It was they must have done something wrong, right? Can you imagine how many times Zach and Elizabeth had prayed, "God, we want a kid so that the people stop staring as we walk through the marketplace. You know, like, help us in this because we're tired of hearing the whispers. Oh, was it him? Did he dance at the square dance? You're not allowed to dance. Or was it her? Some of you, this hits close to home, not being able to have kids. And you've prayed these prayers of desperation. I think also like a prayer of desperation that maybe King Herod would have prayed. Perhaps you never thought that he would have done that. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, when the wise men came into town and he called them and, you know, I hear you're looking for the king of the Jews. Oh, go and find him and come back and tell me so I can go and worship him too. I imagine he prayed prayers of desperation like, God help, what's going on? What am I supposed to do next? Did you know that he was raised in a Jewish household, King Herod? So he would have known how to pray prayers of desperation, prayers for help. I think also the prayers of help that Mary and Joseph and Jesus would have been too little to be praying, but that they would have prayed as they were fleeing to Egypt. Trevor, I think you've got that one in Matthew chapter 2.
Yes. Verse 13, it says, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead.
Familiar stories that we hear every year, and we're hearing them through a different lens this year. Prayers of help, of turmoil, of unrest, of desperation, and we don't have to think too hard and long today to know that what Jesus and his parents were going through is still going through this year. You know, today, whether it's the war in Israel, whether it's the war in Ukraine, there's people who are displaced all over the place that are praying, God help, that don't know where that next day will find them. So prayers of desperation, right? So simple prayers for help and prayers of desperation for help. Both are good. Both are absolutely needed. I'm not knocking the prayer Tim has been praying for the last basically month, God help me get over this cold, right? Because he needs to pray that prayer. But you also got the prayers of desperation, like this week as Nell's grandson, Taylor, starts chemo. There's something deep, raw, emotive that we've been praying along with him. Or as Heather Blackburn, some of you don't know her, she was on staff here for 8 years. She's got a rare blood disorder, and she has to go to Seattle for 4 months or so for a blood transfusion and more stuff. There's something heavy about that, and we're praying along with her as well. Just in the last couple of days, we've begun praying this prayer of help for Randy and Lisa, as Randy ended up in the hospital where they discovered he had pancreatic cancer. So this isn't something he goes through alone. Lisa's going through it. The family's going through it. We're going through it. So these are prayers of help in desperation where we don't determine the outcome, where we have no say. And you guys have sent in some prayers of desperation as well. One person said that her prayer of desperation is the very first verse that she learned in kindergarten. What time am I afraid? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Someone else says, I pray that God can hold me in the grief season. Remind me of the sweet memories while moving forward. I pray that I won't be sediment in the past. I won't be stuck in the past, releasing regrets and what ifs. Someone else prayed, help, we need you, or help, take over, Lord. You know, when a family or a friend is in the hospital, someone prayed, God, dear God, please deliver this person from addiction. A prayer of desperation for another was after her husband left her. This next one is a prayer of, help me focus on your voice and not the lies that the enemy is trying to distract me with, to get me to fall away from you. These are deep. These are raw. These are full of emotion. Right? This person says, sometimes I don't have words to pray, and my prayers of desperation are just tears, trusting that the Spirit will intercede. There's that split second before a car accident where Nothing but help is uttered. There's prayers for the asthmatic child that as they're having an attack that they could breathe. Oh, how helpless we feel during these times. There's prayers for the person when they were suicidal. All they could say was help. Someone else says, God, how long will this pain continue? Someone said, the night I had to pray that he saved me from the enemy that overrun the village we were in, he did answer us in Vietnam. And these are raw. These are real. These are the types of prayers that we pray that actually, in some ways, put us in the Advent story as well. I listened to Matthew Perry's book, his autobiography, lately. If you don't know who he was the actor that played Chandler Bing on Friends. He struggled with addiction throughout his entire life and wasn't necessarily a person who you would find sitting in the pews on a Sunday morning, but as I was reading weeks ago, he said he got to this point where it's the lowest of lows, and someone mentioned addiction, where he said, I didn't have anything else to do but cry out help. I mean, literally, I was listening to that. I'm like, oh, he's praying a prayer of desperation. Help. And help is the first of three prayers that we're going to look at over this Advent season, that will be lived out in this Advent season. Trevor, thanks for day one of co-teaching with me. And as he said earlier, we can't talk about praying and not do it. So I'm going to invite Tim to come on forward. He's going to strum for a little while in the background. And we just want to invite you, in your heart, you don't have to pray out loud, but in the quiet of your heart, pray your prayers of help. Whether they are simple prayers or whether they are prayers of desperation, pray those prayers for a while. Just settle into the fact that we serve a God who came, became one of us, and made us able to bring our prayers of help before the throne. Now, oftentimes at the end of our service, we will tell you if you want somebody to pray for you or with you, go ahead and come to the front and we'll pray with you. We want to do that during this time also. So we're going to quiet ourselves. We're going to bow our heads. We'll have a few people who will come to the front. Cindy will be one of them. And Sherry will also be another. Trevor will be one. I'll be one. We'll just kind of spread out along the front. And if you need somebody to pray with you or for you, we will. But let's just soak into this time where we can come before God and pray this prayer of help. So I'll start us off, and then again, quietness of our heart while Tim plays, we'll pray these prayers of heart of help, and then I'll close this at the end as well. Lord, we come before you, things heavy on our heart. We come before you knowing that we can cry out to you. Perhaps we know the words to cry out, but perhaps we don't. So, Lord, as we as a church lift up our cries of help to you, would you hear them? Hear them from the depths of our hearts, whether it be for a safe drive home or whether it be on the front end of a journey of cancer. Hear our prayers, Lord. Thank you.
God, help. Help. You recognize that sometimes that is the only word that we can utter, and maybe we can't even say it out loud. Maybe it's just the cry of our heart. Maybe it's the tears flowing down our cheeks. We recognize, Lord, that oftentimes the holiday season can be challenging, can be tough relationally. Maybe we miss people who are no longer with us. Maybe we fear what's going to take place in the next month and beyond. Whatever it is, Lord, we know you hear our prayers. And we know that you answer them in your time and in your way. So help us wait on your answers, whatever they may be. I pray this in Jesus' name.
When I think of desperation prayers, I think of Jesus in Gethsemane. And I think of Jesus praying on the cross. Ultimately, Jesus is the answer to all of our desperation prayers. So as we come to communion, I just want us to think about that. Have that be at the front of your mind and your heart as we take this together. James and I are going to be standing here with the elements at each aisle. Just come close to the one that's closest to you. And once you're back to your seat, whenever your heart is ready, just go ahead and take the bread and the juice.